Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical Isle of Vashon in the Jean Bosch Memorial Studio. Broadcasting to you live all over the world to Captain Joe's people all over the world on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the frequency modulated band and streaming live on voiceofvashon.org. I have today an unexpected but much anticipated good, well, I always have a good program. We never have a bad program, but we have a good program, especially because sitting across from me is a gentleman by the name of Vic Treadwell, and Vic is both a Navy veteran, and he is also a broadcaster, a producer on a small radio station, much like ours in Maine. And so, Vic, I'm going to ask you to start us off today by introducing yourself. And in that introduction, include your Navy service, because it's of particular interest to us, because it involves Admiral Stansfield Turner. And Admiral Turner was also the director of the Central Intelligence Agency and a number of other tasks, and you were a quartermaster. So I have amongst Captain Joe's people all over the world, I do have some quartermasters, so introduce yourself, and then we're going to pick up the hawser. Pick up the hawser, that's what we say in the sea services, together for this broadcast.
All right, well, thank you. I'm glad to be here with you. My name is Vic Treadwell. I'm the station manager and on at least an hour a day at WBFYLP in Belfast, Maine, Belfast Community Radio. Yes, indeed, I did a hitch in Uncle Sam's Canoe Club between high school and college back in 1974 to 76. I'm officially a Vietnam-era volunteer, but it was all over except the helicopter off the roof and that sort of thing.
Yes.
It seemed to me a good gamble to be able to go in, have an adventure, and get some good benefits. And that's exactly what happened. I'm a professor's kid, so I had been around college towns all my life, and the school I was headed for said, sure, we'll take you in a couple of years. And so I was off, anchors away, and off to the Navy.
So you went to QMA school?
In Florida, Orlando.
At Orlando, Florida.
Right, which was shared with the Coast Guard. And normally the academic rankings of the Coast Guard, or of the A school, the Quartermaster A school, was all the Coasties followed by all of the Navy guys. But it wasn't exactly geared for a National Merit Scholar, which I happen to be. So I wound up, it wound up being me, then all the Coasties, then all the Navy guys. And on account of that, I got tied for the highest grades the place had ever had. And they gave me my dream sheet, where would you like to go? And I would said I'd like to go as far away as possible and be on some sort of a small vessel and drive the boat and navigate. And they said, nope, you're going to the Admiral's Staff in Norfolk, Virginia. Commander 2nd Fleet, 3-star Admiral. Large staff, moved from ship to ship. The senior afloat guy in the Atlantic, and also the senior naval, I mean, sorry, the senior NATO Admiral. So we did a trip over to Europe at one point for the NATO exercises. But I was the staff quartermaster, which means I maintained the flag plot. Was a map and chart librarian, did, you know, dispatched the vehicles when we were in town and so forth. Basically, that was the admiral's, the staff duty room was the flag plot. Just underneath the ship's bridge, there's always an admiral's bridge.
Yes.
An admiral's plotting room. And the admiral's bridge and the admiral's plot were my spaces. And as I say, I was there from 74 to 76, and then in the reserves while I was in college at Wesleyan in Connecticut.
I know Wesleyan very well. I'm a graduate of the Coast Guard Academy, and the Coast Guard Academy plays Wesleyan in Connecticut.
Sure. Well, so, that I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, that was, and of course, my reserve duty was down there at the base in New London. including one very memorable time of in the winter breaking the ice and snow out of a dry dock so that they could open it up and bring in some ship or other into the dry dock. It was like a descent into the inferno to go down in the place. So there were steam hoses melting the ice and so on.
That's what I did, was a melting, actually breaking a lot of ice was part of my Coast Guard career. I'm going to keep you on for the entire half hour and ask you to comment as we get to the various pieces of my broadcast. And I remind all of Captain Joe's people all over the world that this program is always unscripted and unrehearsed. And so what Vic and I talk about, what QM and I talk about, will be coming to you completely unfiltered. And we will be watching out for those words, which are not allowed. Right down underneath you there, Vic, QM, is a list of the words that you're not allowed to say on the broadcast. And, oh, well, there isn't one over there. Well, then I'll just take my chances with you. So my greetings today, I always start the broadcast off with my greetings to Captain Joe's people all over the world. And my greetings today go out to all of the people who made this last week for me such a wonderful and productive week. And there were some things that happened during the week which were not wonderful and productive. I'll comment briefly on those. But I am going to take my time to comment on the good things that happened. And one of those, of course, is to have a former Navy quartermaster on with me, because I have a feeling that there are one or two tales that we are going to examine with some skepticism, as the whole subject of sea stories is such a precious one to all of Captain Joe's people. So I am enormously grateful for everybody who worked with me, who gave me things, who gave me a piece of themselves, a piece of their hearts and souls over the last week, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. The second thing that I always do, Vic, is that I bring up the binnacle list, and there are always Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, and of course, I always started off with those who have crossed the bar. And I'm going to comment briefly on the Kirk assassination, and I'm going to comment and then add to that that we lost the actor Robert Redford over the week. And he always seemed to me to be an honest practitioner of his craft. And I always like to be around honest practitioners of their craft. And so I recognize that he, so far as I could tell, always gave of himself his best. I've been updated on people like Guido and Pammy's continued success. Dan, who is one of our Voice of Vashon people, who is doing better. Cece and Joe on the Coast Guard channel. Know that, as always, all of you remain in the palm of your captain's hand, and that as I mentioned, your membership on the binnacle list, it is my hope and my wish and is my command that each one of you follow the instructions of your medical practitioner so that you will leave the binnacle list in the approved fashion. I will say quickly in my own situation that a week from yesterday, this coming Monday, the ever lovely and Vietnamese Vivian and I are going to meet for our number 8 time to see if I can separate myself from Mr. Foley. And if and in any case, I am now scheduled with a new medical practitioner and someone that I have never met before. And her name is Alice, M.D. And she says in her statement of intent, I aim to provide patient-centered, evidence-based care with a focus on shared decision-making. Well, Alice, I hate to tell you this, but there's only one person in my medical care who makes those decisions, and it is not you. And then she goes on to say, I am committed to delivering the highest quality surgical care. It is my belief that I am going to end up being under Alice's tender ministration surgically, and we'll talk about that when we get to that. And next week, I'll give you an update on all of that. So before we get into some storytelling with with my quartermaster, my new quartermaster friend. I'm going to comment briefly on the Charlie Kirk killing. All of you know that I, on purpose, do not get into political discussions on this broadcast, and the reason for that is that Captain Joe's people occupy the political, mental, and emotional spectrum from all the way as far to the left as you can get to, as far to the right as you can get, and I am the captain for all of you. But in this particular case, this last couple of days, I have received four signals to my email account. Two of them came from, or purported to have come from, Mr. Kirk's widow. And two of them came from some functionary by the name of Carlson. I opened them up. I read them. And I worked my way all the way down. And I was thinking from the point of view of the widow, of Kirk's widow, I was thinking about my own feelings and my own reactions 5 years ago when Mary R. crossed her own bar and the way that I tried to address that with all of you. At the end of her discussion, which was filled with a promise of revenge and retribution, this is coming from his widow, was a request for money. And then I went down and read the two messages that came from this person named Carlson. Now, I have not ever listened to or watched anything from Carlson or from Kirk. I don't know, although I have a pretty good idea what their politics are. Doesn't matter to me. So I read Carlson's, and I went all the way down, and sure enough, there it was all the way at the bottom, a request for money. So I choose, and I hope all of you, all of Captain Joe's people, will choose how you dispose of your disposable income when it comes to charitable requests. I choose to donate to island functions. For example, I am a strong supporter of the Nature Center. I am a strong supporter of a number of other island activities, all of which go to benefit island people. That's where my heart is. This is where I am going to live for the rest of my life. And all of you know, as well as do most of the island people, that that is Captain Joe's way of putting back into this island community. Carlson and even the young lady who is now a widow. No funding coming from the captain's treasury. So, the good things that happened over the week. On Thursday, I went to a meeting of the Council of American Master Mariners, an organization of which I've been a member for some time. And we opened the meeting with the youngest member, I am the oldest chronologically, saying, let us meditate and think about the 11th September. So Vic, where were you and what were you up to on 11th September 24 years ago?
Where was I? I was presumably in Santa Fe, New Mexico, because that's where I lived for most of that period. I don't really remember in detail. I didn't see it live. I did see the explosion of the Challenger live, but did not see the 9/11.
So what happened at this meeting was that each one of us, we went around the table, there were 12 of us at this meeting. All of us captains, you have to be a captain to belong, to be a full voting member. And each one of us went around and told where we were and what we were doing. And it turned out that for each one of us, we either had lost somebody or somebody had a very close call. In my case, it was a much-loved friend from my Coast Guard active duty time, who was an employee, a high-level employee of the Port Authority in the Twin Towers, and he escaped just barely. And he's still alive. He's still with us. But that was how we remembered that day. And it made a particular impression on me because I was reminded that I almost lost a really good friend. Mm-hmm. And that good friend is still with us today. On Friday, I hosted a wash-up meeting of the Low Tide Celebration, which I chair and will be chairing again next year. And after we had completed all of our business, one of the members reached down behind his chair and he presented me with a photograph of Point Robinson Lighthouse. Now, Vic, you live in a part of the world that has some really great lighthouses. Tell me where your town is in relation to, let's say, coastal Maine.
Sure. Well, if you imagine a map of the coast of Maine, it's got a large bite out of the center of it known as Penobscot Bay, mm-hmm. where the Penobscot River comes down from Bangor and from the hinterlands. And we're on the western side, right up near the mouth of the river. Many people will know of the towns of Camden and Rockland and Rockport. We're the next old port town north of there. It was a schooner captain's place and a shipbuilding town back in the day. So the next system of bays to the east of us is where Acadia Park and so forth is. And we're also about an hour inland from us is the capital, Augusta, and also the greatest VA hospital ever, Togus, which is an interesting story if you're interested in that.
Can we do it in a minute?
Sure, whatever.
But carry on. Tell me about, because probably more than half of Captain Joe's people are people who have served and mm-hmm. who are veterans, and the rest of them are people who honor us who have served. So go ahead, give me a minute on the VA hospital. That's an interesting story.
Mr. Togus had a large farm outside of Augusta, Maine, outside of the capital of Maine, and he lost all four of his sons in the Civil War and decided he would then donate his land to the government, and it was one of the very first veterans' homes and hospitals in the country, and it remains an extremely good one. They take very good care of me. I have all benefits but dental, and as I say, they've taken very good care of me.
So the lighthouse system in Maine mm-hmm. is contrasted with many of the lighthouses that we have out here on the West Coast, in that the ones in Maine, the quarters for the keeper and his family are co-located often with the lighthouse itself. Mm-hmm. So when you mention Penobscot Bay, you've got a couple of lights right there in the bay. Do you ever go out with your station and do something with the people that are running that now?
No, I haven't. Owl's Head, I think, is one of the ones.
Owl's Head, yes.
And we're quite a ways inland. There's no lighthouses anywhere near us. We are a fairly nautical town. As I say, there's lots of beautiful old ship captains' houses, and it was a center of the schooner trade back in the days of sail. Boats were built there out of Maine timber, and Maine crews sailed them up all the way up and down the coast. Just as a reference for those who don't know, the reason Maine is called Down East is because it was the summer winds brought you downwind after a whole season up along the coast, and you went down east to go home.
So
downwind.
So many of those houses had widow's walks.
Yes, indeed. My uncle owns one.
So tell Captain Joe's people what a widow's walk is and what its function was.
Well, it's basically a glassed-in turret up on top of a nice house that gives you a view of the harbor. And if the captain's home, he can watch over his ship down in the harbor. And when the captain's out at sea, the wife can look out to sea and watch for his ship to come home.
And sometimes that ship did not come home, and that's why they're
widow.
That's why they're called a widow's walk.
Yeah, my uncle's house, the trees have grown up and blocked the view of the harbor, but the beautiful glass turret is still there.
So he should take those trees down so that he could have the... is it against the psychology of Maine to take trees down now?
Well, no, but there's a city tree committee and so forth, and it would be complex. A tree warden, actually, is the term. There's a tree warden who reports to the city council. Belfast is a small city of about 8,000, but it has a city-style government rather than a town type of government.
That's interesting because Maine has both, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So then the... So that presentation was made, and I treasure not only the photograph, but the inscriptions that were put on the other side. They all talked about the work that we do together, and so that added to the beauty of that particular day for me. And then that night, my son Sean and his wife Barb came for a visit, and we had thought at first that we would not be able to do that, and we did some creative scheduling so that I could have them, and Sean was actually, we've talked about this before, but Sean actually was Mary R's son, but as soon as Mary R and I got together, all of them became my children, and it remains that way today. And we had just a wonderful visit, and so many good things were accomplished. But I have to say that Barb, in particular, along with my daughter Heather, is a refrigerator cleaner outer, and if there's any thing which even begins to look like it is over its sell by or best by date, it goes into the bag that is headed out to the transfer station. So what started out as a reefer, which was completely full, now has many empty spaces because Barb found all of these things that she felt were going to be poisonous and dangerous to your captain, and now they are well gone. So do you have anybody in your life that does that kind of thing for you?
No, actually, I live in a very interesting situation. I'm a crusty old bachelor type,
okay,
and which has given me the freedom to reincarnate myself many times over my life. I've been had a bunch of interesting
sure.
things, and I now live in an old high school that's been converted to. We have a common room and a common kitchen, and each of the classrooms has been converted into a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom suite. And I intend to live there the rest of my life. Among other things, after it was a high school, it was bought by the National Theater Workshop for the Handicapped.
Mm.
And they converted it. It's got elevators and all the bathrooms are ADA compliant and so forth. I don't need such things yet, but I may someday. And it's very convenient. It's the old high school in the center of Belfast.
Well, you did tell me that one of the adventures in your life was a motorcycle trip.
Yes, that's true. I came all the way from Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is where I had my career as a computer guy for most of the 80s and 90s, all the way up to Bellingham, carrying a young lady named Barbara on the back to visit her friends in Bellingham, where she had gone to college.
So Bellingham is the home of Western Washington University.
Okay.
And this young lady that for whom you were providing free transport, well, I don't know whether it was free or not. That's a
complex question, yeah, but no.
So anyway, you got her back to Bellingham,
mm-hmm.
and now you're living in this converted schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I commend you for making a declaration that that is where you're going to live for the rest of your life, because my home here on the island is where I am going to live for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And should the time come where I need to have somebody come and help me out in order for me to continue to live there, just like you in your schoolhouse, Mm-hmm. There are people here on the island who make their living doing that. Mm-hmm. The Department of Veterans Affairs will help to fund it, mm-hmm. and we'll carry on from there. So I had a wonderful time with Sean and Barbie, and one of the things that we did was that we went down. I own a 29-foot Cal 29. Mm-hmm. And part of my life continuing and expanding tasks is to sail mm-hmm. my Cal 29 named Midori. And so I took Sean, Barbie, and Aussie the dog, and we all went down and spent some time down in Midori. And Captain Joe's people were always interested in how am I doing with that, because some of the both internal and external plumbing that I'm carrying around with me right now gets hung up on some of the Irish pennants that there are with Midori. And my people are always worried that I may catch on something or fall overboard. And I keep telling them that I cannot find or think of a better way for a captain to go than to fall overboard from his 29-foot sloop. There are people who listen to me every week who are not amused by those particular things. So so Saturday, that was Friday with Sean and Barb and Aussie. And then on Saturday, I put on a tuxedo. Do you own a tuxedo?
Nope.
Do you want to own a tuxedo?
Nope.
Nope, you don't want. Do you ever want to go to functions where you're required to wear a tuxedo? Probably not.
Probably not. No.
And probably in Maine, the opportunity to wear a tuxedo is a little bit thin on the ice.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
You show up in your red-checked shirt.
The red-checked shirt. Yes, that's the red-checked shirt. Well, anyway, I put on a tux. And I went to a function, which was a charity dinner for a much-loved friend who continues to support. And this is one of the places where I choose to put my expendable income is for a facility over in West Seattle, which continues to provide assisted living, skilled nursing for people who have no longer able to fund it for themselves. And so this was a dinner called Black Tie Bingo. Now, your captain is not what we would call an enthusiastic bingo player, but I am an enthusiastic supporter of this particular group of people, and in particular, Charlene, who is an old friend. So I went to that dinner, and the ferry system was not being cooperative. By the time I got there, it was about half hour, 45 minutes late, because the ferry was not being very helpful. And I thought, well, maybe the bingo part of it will be over with and I won't have to protect. Oh, they held on to the bingo part. And I was part of Black Tie Bingo, but I was also part of a wonderful group of new friends. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things about I am arguably in the second half of my life. You may be or not.
I'm going to be 70 shortly.
Well, then let's say that you are arguably in the second half of your life.
Sure.
And one of the things that happens is that new friends constantly come aboard. Mm-hmm. They want to hook up and be with Romeo at the dip, and then Romeo close up, coming alongside for replenishment and refreshment. And new friends are as precious to me as friends that I've had all the way back to the first time that I went into the service when I was 17. And so I'm including you.
Well, thank you very kindly.
As one of those new friends, because we are almost up to the time when Captain Joe has to say once again that we have come to the end of our time together. And I am going to take 1 minute, and Captain O'Brien is going to have to extend me 1 minute here into my endpoint. And that is to say that on Sunday, I did the last day of my tours out at Point Robinson Lighthouse. And there were a number of people who came out there knowing that it was the last day. And they wanted to help me through that time, because I've had just a great, great time this year with all of the people that have come to be a part of the Lighthouse Experience with me. And with Vic here, we've talked a little bit about Maine lighthouses. Now we're talking about mine. And now I am over my time by 15 seconds. Captain O'Brien is sitting over there watching the time on his large watch. And so this is, as always, your Captain Joe, up in the captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. Vic, it's been lovely to have you with me. And I'm going to reach across, take your hand, and two sailors, even though you did not quite do exactly what you had wanted to do when you became a member of the what you call the Canoe Club. But this is, as always, your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And as always, we also say this is your Captain Joe. I am up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly.
Thank you, Captain Joe.